All right, appreciate you guys all tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. As always, I will try to be as interactive as possible with everybody out there. So, if you guys want to be a part of the show, I encourage you guys to feel free to call in. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I will try and kind of highlight some things, some memories that we could talk about, some of our favorite memories of Kobe Bryant. That will be more of the theme in tonight's show. But you guys, listen, whatever you guys want to talk about, we're obviously, I'm happy to do so. This is all in memory of one of the legends in sports, obviously Kobe Bryant, and then also remembering everybody that was involved in the helicopter crash. And, you know, I think it's our job. Everybody mourns differently. Everybody kind of treats different things a different way. And I know for me, and I'm sure for many people out there, it's going to take so much time. But I think it's also great and unique to talk about some of the amazing things with Kobe Bryant and some of the amazing things that we can remember from Kobe Bryant. So we'll make sure to do that. Phone number 877-710-ESPN. And we want to start off the show with Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor hopping on 710-ESPN. Mr. Baylor, thank you for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'll start with this. How will you remember Kobe Bryant?
Oh, I remember Kobe when, you know, first came here to L.A. And when I was playing professionally. And Kobe used to come around, you know, on Sundays, you know, we'd work out, me and some of the other players, NBA players, shooting around things. Kobe would always, you know, come around, you know. And there are times when everybody's gone, Kobe would still be around. A couple of times I was there with Kobe, and Kobe would always was interested in proving himself. And so we would stay around, shoot baskets and everything else, you know, Kobe. So we got, you know, like one another and spent, like, you know, a lot of time together. And, you know, I've gotten to watch him play, too, also. He wanted me to see him play, and I said, gee, you know, this guy's really competitive, really good. And so, you know, we got to be friends and friendly with one another.
You know, Elgin, it's interesting. You know, someone like yourself that had such a obviously an amazing, amazing career to be a Hall of Famer with the Los Angeles Lakers, and you look at some of these players after you. What was it that you noticed with Kobe on the basketball court? What was it about his drive? What was it about his? I got the privilege to talk to Jamal Wilkes yesterday, and Jamal spent so much time on referencing. He wanted it, you know, and there's some players, there's some athletes out there that they compete, and there's other athletes that take it to another level. What was so unique about Kobe in that regards?
Kobe was an unbelievable athlete and player and competitor. I've never seen anyone, you know, compete as hard as Kobe. Kobe wanted to win. Regardless, whatever it takes to win, he wanted to win. And Kobe was, you know, fun watching. You know, I love watching Kobe play because he always was always prepared, always ready to play, and he always took care of himself. You know, he worked out, did things, you know, helped improve his skills.
Yeah, it's one of those two, Elgin, where, you know, you look at his journey. It's such an interesting journey. You know, if you think the way Kobe started with the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously drafted in 1996, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows. And, of course, you're not going to have a career, and I'm sure there were many highs and lows for you during your time with the Lakers and in Minneapolis. But that journey, you know, we got to watch. It's different today than it was 25, 30, 40 years ago. Everything was kind of front stage, and I think a lot of people felt like they watched Kobe as a kid when he was drafted at 17, become a man, become a father, become a husband. It's such a unique story here in L.A. because there are no Laker fans that didn't watch this journey with Kobe Bryant. And you know, as you know, unbelievable memories that I think he shaped for not just an entire city, but a fan base that's across the world.
Yeah, I mean, he was the type of guy. You know, I never seen anyone work as hard as Kobe. I mean, it was just unbelievable. We'd get out there and for hours, you know. And a few times we'd go to the gym, shoot around. And he was just this unbelievable player, unbelievable competitor. I've never seen anyone compete as hard as he did.
Elgin, how do we continue Kobe's legacy? What would be your message of how fans out there or people that are, you know, obviously just affected and hurt, and how do we continue Kobe's legacy, and how would you reflect on that?
Well, let me see. You don't have to think about it. Give me a second to think about it, you know, because I would really like Kobe. You know, Kobe and I spent a lot of time together and talk and things like that. So I would say how we would do it, probably get people to support his academy. Mm. The things he's done, things for, you know, kids, sports and things like that. Kobe's done great things.
Yeah, that is one of probably many things. I took so many calls these last couple of days, and it's great, Elgin, to just listen to some of these fans of Kobe. They're so you know, they respect him so much, and a lot of them tell these stories of, man, it's because of Kobe's drive I did this, or when I used to watch Kobe as a player, his mentality drove me to accomplish this. And it's, you know, we think when we watch these players on the court, and I know, look, you're a Hall of Famer in your own, and I know you could tell so many different stories of people that you motivated throughout your lifetime, but it really does kind of bring to light that, you know, these players that we watch, they're more than just athletes. And I think Kobe, you know, unfortunately passes away at the age of 41. The legacy that he's going to leave behind, I think, is only going to grow.
Well, you know, absolutely. You know, with Kobe. And one thing about Kobe, boy, I've never been seen anyone as competitive as Kobe. You know, we spent a lot of time together and talking. And it was just unbelievable. You know, he got out there and I said, well, gee, you know, I've never seen anybody work as hard as Kobe and had such great love for the game of basketball as Kobe.
Elgin, we can't thank you enough for hopping on ESPN LA and on 710 ESPN. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and everything that you've accomplished in your career. To spend a few minutes to reflect on Kobe Bryant means a lot. So thank you for doing this, Elgin.
Thank you.
All right, that's Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor. Let's do this. I want to take phone calls, and I definitely want to talk to fans. When we come back, I want you guys to just reflect on some memories that are important to you. And I definitely got some memories of my own. They're specific memories, and we spent a lot of time, you know, obviously just talking about what Kobe meant to us, and I'm happy to do that as well. But I want to talk about specific memories that stick out to you when you think of Kobe Bryant, and we'll do that coming up next. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to 710 ESPN. All right, your favorite Kobe memory, 877-710-ESPN. You know, as we, this is the third night in a row that we're doing this. And by the way, we're going to do this all week long, so I'll go on tomorrow. Tomorrow will actually be Lakers talk. Thursday, we'll do it again, 6:30 to 9. Friday, obviously, Lakers taking on the Portland Trailblazers. So we're going to continue this coverage. Me personally, I will be on the evenings. Anytime you guys want to be a part of the show, all you got to do is call in. I'll do my best to make you a part of it. You know, as the days just kind of go by, you know, you feel like you're a little bit all over the place. And I know for me, I haven't really had too much time to kind of process everything. And nobody has. And it's tough to, it's very, very tough to kind of, you know, get away from it for a second. What I mean by that is it could become overwhelming. I mean, incredibly overwhelming. Twitter, forget about it. I mean, every single thing on Twitter, you know, are either their memories or their new people's thoughts and their opinions, new interviews, new sound bites, their highlights, whatever it is, right? So there's a ton always going on there. YouTube, kind of the same thing. Of course, our radio station, we're very focused on doing everything we can to commemorate the great, the legend, the icon, Kobe Bryant. So I kind of today I tried as best as I can to, you know, get away for a little bit. All right, can I go an hour, 2 hours without checking social media, without checking this, without checking that? I just a little bit, just kind of get away. And as I was coming into to work today, I was thinking, all right, well, what are some good stuff that I think, you know, we can talk about, that we can reflect on? And one of the things that came to my mind was just starting to look at some of the unbelievable memories we had over the last 20-plus years. We were so privileged to have this incredible run with one of the greatest athletes of all time. And there's a lot of memories there. I mean, an incredible amount of memories. If I told you guys, everybody who's tuned in right now to the broadcast, if I said, hey, list down your top five memories with Kobe Bryant, you'd be like, five? What are you talking about? I need a list of 50. And that's what Kobe Bryant gave to us. You know, and that's what Kobe Bryant gave to Los Angeles. And that's why we love and, you know, respect him so much, is because there was somebody that was just a warrior that always wanted to perform. You know, MT always makes this reference about when he talks about LeBron and Anthony Davis in today's NBA, right? He says, you know, this reminds me back of the Kobe Shaq days. And there are a lot of times Ireland makes that reference too. And one of the things MT says, it's like the Beatles. Everywhere you go, it's a sold-out show. And that was the Lakers with Kobe. And that was the when Lakers go to road games and you go to that arena, it might be the only time Brooklyn gets to see you know, that elite player. It might be the only time that Atlanta gets to see that elite player. They only get to see him once a year, or the Bay Area only gets to see that player twice a year, whatever the case is. We were privileged. I mean, absolutely privileged, night in and night out, to see one of the best to ever do it for 20 years. It's amazing. I mean, it really, really is amazing. So I thought when I was thinking about just kind of what the game plan for the show for tonight was going to be, in my mind, I said, you know, I'd love to hear from Laker fans tonight of what were some of those memories. What are some of those memories that stick out to you? When I say what were some of your favorite Kobe memories, and I got a number of them. I mean, I could, I said the show goes till 9. I'd have to go till midnight if I went through all of mine. So I had to be very selective of some of the memories that I absolutely loved. I want to play you guys a quick clip. And I know Laker fans are going to know exactly what clip this is. This is Kobe Bryant, and I don't even want to give it too much. I don't want to even give it too much context here. I'll just say it was against the Portland Trailblazers.
Coming out of the timeout to the chance of the ever familiar Beat LA. 1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Fall away high. What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Are you? That's the way to end the regular season, Jeff. That's the way you end it. Kobe put it in the first overtime with a miracle three. Wins it in the second overtime with, was it a miracle three? This one, not nearly as difficult as the last one. They will review it, but from this vantage point, it looked like the ball was definitely gone before the clock expired. Peyton to Kobe to the basket. Definitely counts. No question about it. No question about it. Number 8, you might let her this year.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, that's courtesy of KCAL9. You guys know exactly what play that was. That was Lakers versus the Blazers. Kobe, by the way, hit a shot over Ruben Patterson. It was the final game of the regular season. And you know what was on the line? The division. The division was on the line. Kobe hits a shot in regulation over Ruben Patterson, ties the game at 87. Then you get into double OT, Lakers down 106-104, and Kobe hits a three-pointer to just close out the game and close out the regular season and win the division. That was one of my favorite highlights. It really, really was. That's one of those that that's Kobe Bryant. And if you guys know what play I'm talking about, go watch it on YouTube tonight. Go take a look. there was a swagger to Kobe Bryant that was unmatched. And it was in those situations and it was those predicaments where a lot of people fold or do not want that basketball in crunch time. And what made Kobe so special is that ball better be in my hands. That was his mentality. All right, your guys' memories coming up next. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN. Freddie and Bellflower, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Freddie.
Yes, good evening, and thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to reflect on my favorite. I have so many moments, but
of course,
I want to reflect on one in particular. The one that stands out to me, it's the 2008 Olympics, the Redeem Team, if you will. You know, when we, as the Team USA, was trying to recover its status as a top team, and Kobe, you know, when you had all the big dogs there, you had Chris Paul, Dwight Howard at the time, you had LeBron, Wade.
Carmelo, Chris Bosh, absolutely. Jason Kidd, I think, was on that team, too. All the big dogs were on there.
Yeah, and just to say, they were winning for the majority of the game, but as soon, I think at the end of the third quarter, I remember it vividly, Spain had just came back. Mm-hmm. We were probably up 2-3 points, something like that. And guess who it was? It was everyone, and I remember seeing it, and if you remember vividly watching the game, you remember that they turned to Kobe because it seemed like they needed to look at a leader, someone who wasn't afraid of the moment. And I think a lot of these players, I don't know if they were afraid, but I think they needed that veteran leader. And it was Kobe that, you know, had his hand, I think, in the last 16 out of the 20 points in the fourth quarter. So, excuse me if I'm a little emotional, but yeah, it's just wanted to share that and see if you remember that moment and how, you know, basically they all turned to him and he was the one that closed out the game and, you know, won them the help and was the majority, probably the most important player in that game, without a doubt, in my opinion. But I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Appreciate you calling in, Freddie. No, of course I remember that game. And I think there's something to that. Think about all the names that we named off. It's the elite of the elite taking on Spain. And Spain was solid. Spain, remember, that's Marc Gasol, that's Pau Gasol, I think Rudy Fernandez at the time. They were one of the elite teams in the world. And when push came to shove in the championship game, just like Kobe Bryant would get the ball in the Los Angeles Lakers to close out games, Kobe Bryant was getting the ball when Dwayne Wade was on that roster, Carmelo Anthony. These guys are in their prime. Obviously, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Jason Kidd. You go up and down that list. That's a great memory. And that was on an international stage, you know, so that's also special. Earlier today, AC Milan did a tribute for Kobe Bryant, and that was his favorite soccer team. We know Kobe obviously spent a number of years in Italy. But what's so special about that is there have been a lot of soccer players. That was one of his favorite sports. There's been a lot of soccer players giving their respect and their tribute to Kobe Bryant. But that reflection on that 2010 Olympics or 2008 Olympics, you know, everybody remembers. And everybody remembers when push came to shove, that ball's going to be in Kobe Bryant's hand. Josh in Valley Village. Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, man? The real short and sweet, man. I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys and what you guys have been doing for the city, man. It's been awesome listening to you guys cover this. But I'd have to say, man, you know, there's been a bunch of shots. There's been a bunch of buzzer beaters, mm-hmm. the points. But I think, man, I think my favorite Mamba moment, or one of them definitely, as yourself, I have a long list, is when Matt Barnes, with the ball,
the best,
and Kobe,
the absolute best,
and stared him down. I mean, I think that's just like the definition of Mamba mentality, man. Like, I feel like you could throw Kobe in a cage with a bear, and he's just going to stare at the bear as he roars and finds a way to either get rid of the bear or get out of the cage. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just a surreal thing, man. I was down. I got a chance to go to LA Live on Sunday, and. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful, but it was definitely a little eerie there. But yeah, man, I just wanted to, you know, get my little two cents in, man. I'll let you guys take over, and I appreciate you guys so much. You guys are doing great.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, that, how about that moment? You're in the NBA Finals at that time. You know, obviously Matt Barnes, Kobe Bryant, just going back and forth in each one of these games. And I know that's a highlight we've all seen 100 times, but that is kind of a reflection of Kobe. When he was out on that basketball court, if you thought you were going to find a way to intimidate Kobe, or rattle him or shake him in any way possible, impossible for that to happen. That ball was 2 inches from his face, 1 inch from his face, and he didn't move for 1 second. Didn't flinch or anything. You know, Josh mentioned there that he came out to LA Live. If you guys haven't come down and you haven't seen just kind of the memorial that started on Sunday, and this wasn't, look, I could be wrong here, but this just happened, right? And fans that came out here just wanted to be out, you know, near Staples Center, where everybody says the home that Kobe Bryant built. This just, you know, over the days, I've had a chance, you know, obviously since Sunday. I did the show on Sunday night, so I got a chance to go down there a couple different times. But there are so many things. It's a special place. Let me just put it that way. It's a special place because you got all these Laker fans that are joining together, that are paying their respects. But, you know, there's a connection. There's a bond. There's things you don't have to say to anybody there. You don't have to know anybody there. And you feel like you have a connection with them. You know, yesterday, Jesse, who produces this show, him and I walked down there after the show. And, you know, you just kind of walk around, and there's the purple and gold everywhere. And there's Kobe Bryant's picture with his beautiful daughter up on the LED boards that are there. Josh used a word he said is kind of eerie. By the way, I'm with you on that. It is eerie because, you know, for I think a lot of us, you know, most of this, we know it happened, but that doesn't mean it's sunk in. We know that this is the reality, but doesn't mean everybody's, you know, fully accepted it. But I do think it's something, and it's special. I think if you come down here to LA Live and you get a chance to be with us, all these other Laker fans, all these other Kobe Bryant fans, all these, you know, folks from Los Angeles that, you know, they're really genuinely, I say this, you know, you share a bond together without even having to know any of these people. I've said that a lot about Kobe. You know, I felt like I described it this way. The best way I could describe it was I felt that, you know, you felt like you lost a family member and you didn't know Kobe Bryant, but that's how close you felt with him. There's that special bond. There's that special bond you feel with Kobe Bryant, and I think that's the case when you go across the street, right outside of LA Live, across the street from Staples Center. You felt that, and I think if you haven't got a chance to do that, I encourage you to do it. It sounds like, you know, yesterday we took off. It was after 10 o'clock, maybe around 10:30 we were down there, and there were still a ton of people. So you can come really at any time that you feel it works for you. Colin in Long Beach. Colin, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Colin.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm actually just driving by City Hall now, and it lit up in purple and gold, and it's been a somber few days for the City of Angels and basketball fans in the world. And I'm a lifelong Laker fan. You know, I grew up watching with the Forum. I'm Kobe's age, less than a year younger. So definitely took this one hard. I lost my father in 2013, and you know, we were on the phone together in Kobe's 81-point game. Hmm. That was a great memory, but I think my greatest memory are his passes. I ardently defended Kobe from the haters when they said, "Oh, he's such a ball hog," and you know, he doesn't get his teammates involved. And he certainly had his moments with that, and that came with the territory with his drive and his competitive nature. But his pass to Shaq, his alley-oop to Shaq, and the comeback against Portland, and then in the same series, the last caller mentioned with Matt Barnes in Orlando, the first of their back-to-back. With Powell, he had a pass to Derek Fisher when he drew a double team.
Is that when Fisher hits the three?
It was probably sealed the game. Mm-hmm. And Kobe read the double team and he made the pass, and it showed his maturity. I mean, obviously the earlier memory, the alley-oop to Shaq is, you know, Shaq's a big man, kind of just throw it up there, but
sure.
Yet and still, it was a pass, you know, it wasn't a shot. And my memory of Kobe is that every time someone doubted him, whether it was the media or someone else, he always came back, and he was the biggest story the next day.
Hmm.
You know, his name was in people's mouths the next day, and it's just so surreal to know that LeBron passed him the night before his death.
Yeah,
I firmly believe circumstances surrounding people's death, they're not coincidental. And even in death, and I don't want this to sound any way disrespectful, but even in death, Kobe was the story. And I just remember him always persevering over anybody that doubted him. So it's been tough. My wife and I really broke down on Sunday. We have a 1.5-year-old, and just to think of him in those memories, but those passes in those moments where people doubted and thought maybe he would, you know, just shoot the ball, and he made the right basketball play, and the sport just lost a great ambassador. And we love you, Kobe. R.I.P. Mamba.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you, man. Yeah, Kobe, I think, you know, he... How much did he love those moments when you doubted him about something, whatever it was? You shoot too much. You do this, you do that. That's where Kobe thrived most. It's when you doubted him. Dwayne Wade on TNT, his favorite Kobe memory, that's coming up next. And then we'll also take more of your guys' phone calls. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight, so we'll keep going. As many of you guys want to get your thoughts in of your favorite Kobe memory, I'll make sure to do that tonight. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN.
One of my favorite Kobe moments, it was on the 2009 championship run against Boston. And I've been sitting in Prime 112 in Miami, you know, out of the playoffs, watching on TV, watching other games going on. I mean, other things going on. And I get a call from this unknown number, and it keeps calling me and calling me. So eventually I answer it, and it's Kobe on the phone. I run outside immediately because Kobe's calling me, and he say, "Hey, Boston's guarding me this way on the pick and roll. What should I do?" He said, "You're the best at pick and rolls in this game. I watched your series versus them. How should I attack them when they blitz me? How should I attack them when they hedge? How should I attack them when they playing soft?" And this is one of the greatest players to ever play, and he's reaching out to me, a younger player, asking me, how do I attack these pick and rolls? And I'm sitting there waiting the next game, and I'm hoping that he do one of the things I said. And to watch him dominate that series after that, I felt like he let me be a part of it. Like, I felt a part of that championship, you know?
That's Dwayne Wade on TNT. By the way, they were across the street. I think it's done by now. They did just a complete special on Kobe Bryant. They did it from Staples Center, right at center court. Number of greats that were a part of that, including Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade, obviously you heard right there, Jerry West, Candace Parker, Steve Nash. So there are a number of greats that were a part of that, and I'll play some clips as we kind of go throughout the show. All right, back to your guys' phone calls here. Fred and Gardena, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, guys, what's going on, man? Oh, man. Crazy.
It is crazy, by the way, Fred. It really is. Yeah, like, man, it's I try to understand it, or I try to, like, what's going on here, what's happening every day, you know. To be honest with you, you know, this is the third night, and none of it makes sense, but I'm sure we're all in the same
way. I feel you, man. My memory, the three air balls, man. Three or four air balls.
Four of them.
Utah.
Yeah.
Four of them, and that's what started the Mamba mentality right there. Without those air balls, we wouldn't have the Mamba mentality, you know? Those air balls sent him into the gym. Those air balls got him to watch film. You know, those air balls made him the greatest, man. Made him the greatest.
You know, Fred, you know, so interesting about that series. So four air balls, and I don't know, you know, I'm sure you remember this very well. Kobe was, you know, they went, just the media The way they were so, how can you take these shots? You already airballed this many shots. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, everybody was all over Kobe Bryant. By the way, I was a fan at that time. I'm sitting there like, Kobe, you already airballed two of them. You know, give it to somebody else. But that, when you say that was the highlight that, you know, is your greatest memory, man, I get it. I get exactly what you're talking about when you say that, because here was somebody that that took defeat in the biggest stage at 18 years old and said, give it to me again.
Yeah, exactly. We should have known Star was born in, man. We should have known greatness was going to come out of that at that point, you know?
You know, you know, Fred, and I appreciate you calling in and obviously sharing that. One of the things I think that's so common in sports, by the way, forget sports, just in general in life, right? Your confidence is everything. If you don't have confidence in whatever you're doing, it's going to be tough to shine. Whatever craft you have or anything that you do, confidence is so important. And having confidence and belief in yourself, not a cockiness, but a belief that you can do it. And we see so many athletes, you know, what makes somebody mediocre, what makes them good, what makes them below average, what makes them great, all-star level, and icons. So much of that is separated just by confidence. Now, I know Kobe's going to go outwork everybody else, but that confidence to be an 18-year-old and on that stage fail that many times just to come back and say, yep, I'm going to do it again. And you know what I'm going to do if it doesn't happen here? I'm going to throw it up again and see what happens. And if that doesn't happen as well, I'm going to come back in the offseason. I'm going to work on it. You know, that is true greatness. Greatness, they say, has nothing to do with how you succeeded. Greatness is what you do when you fail. And that moment, you know, that stretch that you point out in 96, for you to say that's your favorite Kobe moment, man, you thought that one through. You really did, because it's so easy to talk about the successes that somebody has, but it's really, you know, you learn the most is during that failure. You learn the most when it didn't work out your way. I played a highlight a little bit ago, and it was Kobe hitting those final game of the regular season in Portland, hitting those shots over Ruben Patterson. Lakers win the division. That might be one of my favorite moments of Kobe, but I love that you highlighted that. All right, let's keep going here. How about Jay in Los Angeles? Jay, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thank you for taking my call, first and foremost. Appreciate what you guys are doing here. It really helps everybody trying to heal throughout this whole process. My favorite moment would have to be, I think a lot of people's favorite moment would have to be Game 7 against the Boston Celtics, when there was 2 minutes down the stretch and we're only up by five and the lead was going back and forth and Kobe couldn't get a bucket for the life of him, and neither could Powell. And Kobe's will to win, Kobe's drive, determination, exactly what you mentioned just prior to this, he knew what he had to do. And I think he ended the game with around like 15 or 16 rebounds. And obviously that famous assist to Metal World Peace to seal the deal just shows you how Kobe's determination and his drive to come back even stronger after losing 2 years prior to Boston Celtics really helped them seal the deal and really solidified him amongst the greats with that championship.
You know, Jay, there was so much meaning to 2010. Like that game seven in 2010, there were so many layers to that. I'll just kind of explain, you know, how important it was, and I appreciate you calling in. But think about this. Lakers had, at that point, already lost. Kobe already lost the NBA Finals to the Boston Celtics. I remember this is another very unique moment, but I remember when Lakers they won the Western Conference Finals in 2009. And when they're grabbing the Western Conference trophy, you know, the commissioner is coming out, your 2009 Western Conference champions, the Los Angeles Lakers. And there was not one smile on anybody's face. They just all kind of stood around saying, why don't you go ahead and put that on the side? We got to go win an NBA championship. We lost in 2008. And this leads me to, you know, the 2010 that you just mentioned. what made that moment so special is you were beating the Boston Celtics. This is why it was so special for Kobe Bryant. You were not only beating the Boston Celtics, who had already beat you 2 years ago, you got number 5. We know how important number 5 was to Kobe Bryant. You now had more championships than Shaq. You guys remember that special Shaq and Kobe did? Maybe it was about a year ago or so. They did it on NBA TV, and those two reflect. And there was a lot of time where they're having that conversation where Kobe would be like, I got one more than Shaq. You know, that was a, as much as that one, what it meant to us, and he knows how much that meant to Laker fans, and he knows how important it was to beat the Boston Celtics. For Kobe Bryant, it was next level. Not only did he beat the Boston Celtics, but he got himself number 5. I appreciate you sharing that that story as well. Lorenzo in Huntington Beach. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Lorenzo.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for ESPN for letting us all share.
That's all right. By the way, let me just say, and I know we appreciate you guys saying that, but, you know, this is our duty. And frankly, it's an honor to have a mic. I'm sure everybody that has a mic and everybody working in the background, whatever we can do to help, we know this is unfortunate circumstances. But thank you for saying thank you. But this is our job. This is what we're supposed to do.
You bet. Condolences to all the families that lost their loved ones. I'm a 68-year-old man, so I go back to Showtime, and I was a Lakers fan. And I when Kobe came in, I kind of looked at him with a, I don't know about this kid, and I kind of stayed there a lot for the first couple three years, and indiscretions happened with him and the trial and all that stuff. And I held a real a grudge against him, and I let it translate to the Lakers. I actually became a somewhat Boston fan, and I kind of apologize for that right now. But nevertheless, I did. That's the truth. But it wasn't until Sunday when I got in my car and turned on the radio, and I heard, I could not believe that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident. Immediately called my brother. He says, first thing he says, you've got to be kidding. I said, brother, I'm not kidding. I'm hanging up. I hung up and I went to a restaurant because I was hungry. I walked in. It was on all the TVs behind the bar. Put my order in, turned around, and I'm a 60-year-old man, so this other senior citizen lady looks up. She didn't realize she was standing there waiting for a table, and she actually read what was on there, and she grabbed her heart. She went, and it was, that's what happened in L.A. and Orange County and California and around the world is, the air was taken out. It's as if the air was taken out of the, anyway.
The world stopped.
Yeah, thank you.
Lorenzo, I mean this when I say it. I think the world has stopped for 3 days. Like, I don't know how else you want me to explain it, but this is, keep going on your point, but hopefully that helped a little bit.
I've been listening to you for, to this station off and on for 3 days. I don't normally listen to that. I'm not a big sports fan anymore. I have my directions or other things, but I couldn't help. And the testimonies that come through and the stories I've heard about COVID, I didn't know. And so I had a real kind of repentance on my attitude towards him because Kobe has transcended sports, and I've heard it over and over again in different ways, the testimonies of people again about him at Kobe's camp and him going to the hospital for this little boy in a limo and on, and the lady with the pregnancy and he walks up, how you doing? I'm a daddy, a girl, a girl daddy,
yep.
You know? All that, so he's completely changed my heart. Him passing away, and I really know who Kobe Bryant is now through his passing. And I'm going to tell everybody what the mom attitude is all about now. So that's my story.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Thank you. That's a great story, and it's a different perspective. So I appreciate you sharing that story. We're going to hear from Candace Parker coming up next.
You know, the NBA had Kobe for 20 years, and we like to think that the WNBA, he embraced it for the last four at least. He came to more Sparks games the last couple years. A lot more. You could see him sitting courtside with his daughter, with his family. And I think I met Kobe in 08 at the Beijing Olympics. And the first time I met his daughters, he walked up to me and was like, "You see these two girls? They're going to break all your records one day." And that was just the competitive spirit that he always had. And, you know, we show up to practice as the women, you know, Olympic team, and the guys sometimes had practice and sometimes didn't. But guaranteed every single time before we practice, he was out on the court getting up shots in a full sweat. And, I mean, that was just a testament to his work ethic. And in 08, I was fortunate enough to be drafted to the Sparks. And I came here to the building where Kobe and Shaq built in Staples Center. And it was right before his second run of championships. And I just saw him be a leader. And I always heard this phrase that, you know, bosses push, but leaders pull. And he just demonstrated all of that. He got to where he wanted his teams to be, and he just pulled them there. And that was kind of the way that our relationship developed. In 08, we made the playoffs, and I was in practice, and I get out, and I have this crazy voicemail. And I listen to it, and it's, you know, good luck. It's from Kobe. He's like, good luck in the playoffs. You know, you're going to do your thing. And then at the end, he's like, and when the symphony plays and the maestro comes in and the lights shine and they point at you, it's your time to come in and you're solo, and you'll know it because you've prepared for this moment. And it's only Kobe would say and describe it in that way and in that fashion. And it's just like, you know what to do and you know what he's going to say, but just Kobe just says it best.
Right.
And I mean, that's who he was.
All right, that's Candace Parker. That was on TNT. They did a beautiful, beautiful special, and I'll keep playing clips of that as we kind of go through the show. All right, let me go back to the phone lines here. Before I do that, actually, let me say one thing. So one of the things I highlighted a couple different times, I highlighted a couple weeks ago when it happened, but I will continue to highlight this. You know, one of the things I loved so much about kind of the path that Kobe was on, and I think this is going to be up to a lot of the players to continue this this legacy, is I loved his relationship with his daughter. And with his daughters, it seemed like there was something was important that Candace Parker mentioned there for the WNBA. You know, to motivate girls out there that, yes, even us, and I'm talking about premier athletes like Kobe Bryant, icons, can walk in and will walk into Staples Center for a Lakers game like he did a few weeks back with his daughter and wear a WNBA sweater. I thought that was powerful, and I loved it because if it didn't mean something to you, it might have meant something to that 8-year-old girl or that 15-year-old girl. Or that 6-year-old girl, whatever the case was, that an icon like Kobe Bryant was supporting the NBA for women. And obviously, you know, his daughter Gianna, you know, God bless her soul. That was someone that, you know, he felt like, I love what he said to Candace Parker, where Candace just said right there, they're going to break all your records, you know, when he's introducing his daughters to them. So I just think that's special. I really do. Kerrigan in Fountain Valley, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Kerrigan.
Hey, Alan. So I actually wanted to call in and go over, a Kobe moment at first, but you know what? I actually have a new favorite Kobe moment. It's just the last 2 days, you know, what Kobe has, you know, even after his passing, he still brings all of the fans together. I remember in 2011, I actually called ESPN and vented on air about Laker fanatics, how, you know, we're crazy. We always want to give people our trash to get back treasures. Hey, let's trade Steve Blake and get Dwayne Wade. You know, Laker fans have never made the best trade scenarios ever. But, you know, I called in and bashed Laker fans, but you know what? Listening to them the last couple of days, you know, it just, you know, it brings, you know, joy to my heart, just hearing them, all the love that
Laker fans, Kobe fans have been showing the last 2 days. This is right now what's going on, listening to all these happy moments. That's my new favorite Kobe moment right there.
Kerrigan, very, 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 very well said. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I'll tell you this, you know, Kobe was so special to so many people. And I think these last couple of days, man, if you didn't know it, you know, before, you definitely know it now. More of your guys' phone calls when we come back. This is 710 ESPN.